chapter 33:19. I was struck by these series of verses I'm going to go over with you. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Tell me when you're there. Whether you have your iPhones out, Samsungs, and in verse 19, are you there?
There.
They shall call the people unto the mountain. Did you listen to the prophetic word tonight? And they shall offer, say it with me, the sacrifices of righteousness. For they shall suck the abundance of the seas and treasures hidden in the sand. Have you ever thought about that? That righteousness is a sacrifice? It is a sacrifice. For us that are watching our weight closely, you want to eat that extra piece of pie. And you find out the kids took it. And you think you sacrificed. No. It's when the pie's there. And you said, I better not do it. But you have this roving hand like Dr. Strange love. In your mouth, you start tasting in your mouth that juicy apple pie or, God forbid, cherry pie. And you don't take it because you know it would not be good for you. The sacrifice of righteousness is like the sacrifice of praise. There's times that you come into the house of the Lord and you don't feel like it. But what do anyway? You raise your hands. Oh, the minute you raise your hands, your arms ache. You want to sit down. Oh, I got to see so-and-so at church today. You know, I just don't feel like it. The sacrifice of praise, the underlying word is sacrifice. Righteousness is making a decision that is contrary to what you want. And that is sometimes the hardest thing, but God is well pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness. We don't teach on it enough. Matter of fact, I don't know when we taught on it. We understand the sacrifice of praise, but the sacrifice of righteousness is doing the things that you don't want to do. Do you think Jesus wanted to go to the cross? But he knew he had to complete all righteousness. So against his own will, he said, not my will, but thine be done. Am I quoting the scriptures clearly and sufficiently? God spoke to us a lot tonight. So the two words that I want to give to you, you'll find. And I would like you to consider Acts. I want to talk about Philippi. And I'm going to ask Kelly to give me the verse on at the Philippian jailer, if you would.
Give me a second.
No. I can't do anything without Kelly. Acts, Philippi. The Philippians. The word Philippi.
Let's try Acts 16, starting at verse 25.
Acts 16, verse 25. Philippians.
No, Acts.
I'm talking about the Philippi. Acts 16, verse what?
25.
Thank you. The word Philippians, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. We get the word Philippian. Or Philos, brotherly love. You can conjugate it down to it. I'm starting at verse 16. It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain maid possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. We have those today, Sister Faye. I'm sure you've seen her sign around. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who show unto us the way of salvation." What's wrong with that? The way of salvation. What's wrong with that? She's talking the gospel. But there was a spirit in it, wasn't there? It wasn't motivated by the love of God. It was motivated by money, filthy lucre. See, many people will quote the scriptures, you know, we're not supposed to have money, because it says the love of money is the root of all evil. And remember the difference. Love of money, not money is evil, the love of it. And so it says in verse 17, "And the same followed Paul. She began to say, 'God who shows us the way of salvation.'" And in some Greek texts, the word "the" is not a definite article. It's an indefinite article, a way of salvation. Notice that people say, "You have your truth, I have my truth." How many of you know that's malarkey, if I can quote the president, which I don't like to do. But the way of salvation, or a way of salvation. "And this did she many days." Now, she kept at it. She kept nagging and nagging. "Being grieved," Paul being grieved, "turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Peter, Paul, and Silas, and threw them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, 'These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city.'" What does that mean in common parlance? It means these guys got rid of this spirit, this demonic spirit, and we like it. Do you know people like their demons? People say, "Dr. Tellers, have you quit drinking?" I said, "No. I just changed brands from Old Crow to Holy Ghost." Yeah. "And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither observe," being Romans. "And the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrate tore off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who have received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Okay. I'm sure Pastor saw this, and anybody else that's been to Israel or seen how the prisons work. This must be Justin's fault. The prisons were often sometimes cave-like, and you had different levels in the prison, but usually the third level or thereafter, there was an area where there was a hole. Did you see that when you were in Jerusalem? The dark, dingy hole, the darkest place in the prison. Many of us believe that Jesus was there in the darkest place of the prison house.
That's where I was. I went right
in. Did you feel the spirit?
I wept for 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was something. So what did they do to these apostles? They were upset because they were interfering with the flow of commerce by their philosophy, by their capitalism. We call it crony capitalism. And these men had the audacity to get rid of their demons. Over the years, I've had encounters with demons. I don't look forward to it, but I've had it. And I remember very vividly standing in church with my wife, and there was this voice that came out from this woman. I mean, she was a petite woman. You know, it's just like petite. Is no a better word to put. But all of a sudden, I heard this voice behind me start, "I don't like that." when the gospel was being preached. And I went around and I looked. And here's this petite little lady, and a different voice came out of her mouth.
Ooh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've shared this, but when I was going to the School of Theology in Los Angeles, we had missionaries come in. And they are missionaries to these New Guinea and different places like that. And they were lecturing us and telling us what the mission life is like and everything that goes on in the mission world. And me, I always have a lot of questions. I raised my hand and I said, by the way, did you see anybody demon-possessed? And this couple started, he scratched his beard, not her. And he says, I can't think of a thing that they have. We saw anything like that. That was something maybe 2,000 years ago. And all of a sudden, when they said that, the guy in front of me, head swiveled and started garbling. You talk about young theologians hitting the ceiling. I could crawl into those little cracks in those tiles. Whoa, our eyes became big as saucers. Mm-hmm. When it was over, one brave soul, not me, reached out and touched this young man. And that spirit calmed down, his head moved to the center, everything was just like it was before. And you know what bothered me the most? Is when I asked, when the missionary saw that, they denied it. Mm-hmm. See, it's easy to deny your own demons or what you see if you don't have perception. But here you have these men being cast by the magistrate in Philippi into the deepest part, the hole, if you will, of this jail. And as Pastor said, it is a very moving experience. And when they had laid many stripes, in verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the what? Inner prison, the deepest part, and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Silas prayed, saying praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Isn't it difficult in the middle of our troubles and tribulations to praise God?
Oh, yes.
It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. To give praise in the most difficult time. The kids spill their milk. I know that really irks mothers, doesn't it? Natalie, Michelle, all you mothers. Spilt milk. Mm. Or when something happens, to say, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Or when you have to go to a brother and sister, or a sister that is very difficult to work with, and you have to say, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. You show your demons, don't you? So we find it written. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. Why do we give the sacrifice of righteousness? Why does it say in Hebrews, make your path straight? You need straight feet so that the lane is not turned out of the way. When we walk in sacrifice and righteousness, and we walk in holiness, there is power. Romans tells us, the first chapter, that Jesus had power according to the spirit of holiness. Holiness is righteousness in action. You do what is right. How do we know what is right? Do you deny when you see demons and heads swiveling? I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. Or deny it? Or involved in church business for money? Pastor, we're not paying you $200,000 a year, are we?
Maybe someday.
Listen, you can't really serve the Lord for money, and there are preachers and ministers out there making a fortune off the gospel. Now, there's nothing wrong. A minister that serves the Lord should be paid by those he ministers to. If you live in Beverly Hills and you have a congregation that you're ministering to and serving, you need to be at the level of the congregation that you serve. So if you want to preach in Beverly Hills or Hollywood, well, you don't want to preach here. There's where all the demons are. But what do you do? Do you pull up in a 57 Chevy with mufflers on it that have holes in it? Or would you like to pull up in the normal attire of that neighborhood? Mercedes, Ferrari, whatever. But if you live in an area where you're ministering and God has called you to it, where there's poverty, for you to pull up in a Bentley, what's wrong with that picture? We must serve the Lord where he places us, and we need to be not above the people. If you listen to Brother Aaron tonight, Dr. Aaron, you listen to Justin, you find out we are to encourage and lift up people to Jesus, not to focus on ourselves or become profited by the work of the ministry. There's too much of that going on in the United States. In other countries, you ask some of these preachers that are making fortunes, and you ask them, why? Why are you doing this? They said, why won't you go over to Istanbul or some other place? This is what I'll feel called there. What they don't feel is there's no air conditioning in their cars. We couldn't drive around in carts. I'm not being critical. I would like to be a Mr. Dwight. But if God hasn't called you there, that's different. So we see it written in the scriptures that there was an earthquake. What were they doing? They were praising God in the depth of their sorrow, in the depth of their punishment. They were praising God. And there was an earthquake because God is well pleased with those that praise his name in the midst of their darkness. One thing I appreciate about Reverend Charlotte, she was still praising God at the death of her 61-year marriage. She was thankful for what we were able to do last week. When people start giving thanks and praise, even though it is very difficult, it's a joy to the Lord, it's a work of righteousness, and it's a sacrifice of righteousness. Because we're obeying the Word of God and not leaning to our own emotions and feelings. So, here we go. So there was an earthquake. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, in verse 26, that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. When you walk in righteousness and praise the Lord, it opens doors. If you read Psalms 102, you'll find out those who will break the appointment of death praise the Lord. And everyone's bands were loosed. What was the prophetic word tonight? And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, sprang in, and came in trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas. One thing I appreciate about the prophecy we had tonight, Pastor, was that God was speaking to us that he wants a love relationship with each of us. That we're not to interfere with the relationship someone has with God. And I even question when people start using God to justify bitterness or they attack your character. Even though it may be justified, they may not know that there's a root there. Just like the woman that followed after Paul. He shows us a way of salvation. Our job is not to judge the character. Our job is to deal with the actions. Now, it's important for us tonight to realize, as we have seen demonic forces, and they're coming one after another, especially, and I'm going to say this with all gentleness, the last enemy to be done away with is what?
Death.
How are we going to get out of death? There is a generation appointed that will break the appointment of death in Psalms 1-2 by praising the Lord and the sacrifice of righteousness. So in conclusion, there is a deep space that Satan wants us all to go to, where we're beside ourselves, where there is no hope. Can we praise the Lord? Can we be thankful to Him in the midst of the darkest place in the darkest prison? Some of us battle emotionally. Some of us, like I was thinking about Deaconess Lighty, your mom, Michelle. I'm thinking she's kind of in a prison house. But God delivers her. God sees to her. But we have to understand that we have a responsibility to bring people out of the prison, their prison house. How do we do that? By our sacrifice of righteousness. By our thanksgiving. Not wishful thinking. To speak the truth in your heart. Tonight it was very clear. He says, speak the truth in your heart. I am not interested in being right. I'm interested in the truth. When truth supersedes the need to be right, then you're moving in the sacrifice of righteousness, because there's always a tendency to defend yourself. Defending yourself. When we should understand that when people hurl insults at you, or they claim certain things about you that are not true, that you respond how? With love and kindness, praising the Lord, asking God to change, asking God to give grace and to bless. This is a long journey for us. And each day we have to battle it. There are things that gets us so angry. But to turn around and smile and be thankful to God and praise the Lord in the darkest place is the act of righteousness, or the sacrifice of righteousness. So let's together praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's together be thankful. Amen. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Pastor. You take my turn next time.
Okay.
Pastor.
I feel like singing that song. Love lifted me.
Love lifted me.
When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted you. When nothing else could help, love lifted me and you. I know that was a little side note. Well, there's nothing like love. Mm-hmm. Love conquered all through Jesus. Mm-hmm. And through us, it conquers everything as well. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Let's stand and take communion together tonight. Let's just say a little prayer together here tonight. Lord, we just thank you that you went to the cross, that you took our sins, you made us righteous because we didn't deserve it, but you did it for us. So tonight, if there's anyone here who has not accepted Jesus into their hearts, and ask him to forgive them their sins and be their Lord and Savior, this is your opportunity. So let's all say it together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross for us.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross.
You took our place.
You
took our sin and nailed it to the cross. And all we have to do is accept what you've done for us. So we ask you, Jesus, to come into our heart. Wash us with your blood. And fill us with your Holy Spirit. And as we take this communion tonight, we receive your body, which represents what you've done, and we receive your blood, which cleanses us and makes us righteous. Sure, if we had enough, so. On that night, the Lord lifted the bread, and he said, "This is my body, broken for you.
He took the cup and he said, "This is my blood shed for you for the remission of sins. Take in remembrance of me."
Jesus.
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress. You are my hiding place. I believe that you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe that you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe through every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take, I believe that you are provider. Oh, you are protector. You are the one. The truth, the light.
come tonight, we gather in your name to partake of this that represents your body and your blood. And as we partake, Father, we thank you that we are partaking of you and what you've done. We and you and us. Yes. Thank you, Father, for all that you took. The sin, the sorrow, the grief, our sickness, the diseases. You took it on yourself so that we might have life, eternal life, and life more abundantly. And tonight as we partake, we receive what you've done and receive you in Jesus' name. Take the body and blood of Christ. You may be seated. Anybody have a prayer need that we need to pray about tonight? Everybody had their prayers answered. That's wonderful. Michelle.
You can always count on me to have one.
Amen.
Okay, so I got word today from somebody that was very disturbing, just that my mom was in a really bad situation, that the nursing home was in a really bad situation. I've since had it countered. So I guess just for God to bring out anything that needs to be brought out and to confirm to me if I'm supposed to do anything, because at this point I think I'm supposed to leave her there. So all of the people in the nursing homes are just in a really bad situation right now. You know, they don't have their advocates, available to them, and there's really, you know, what do you do about it other than pray? So that's what we're doing.
Does anybody else here have a parent in the nursing home besides Michelle? Well, I just want to make you aware of what Michelle was saying, that all the nursing homes in the country are in a very, very difficult situation. In many ways, but especially the people who live there. They're vulnerable because there is no advocate. There's nobody going in and out that's making sure that they're getting the care they need.
Right.
And that is very troubling. So we really need to remember our elderly population and the situations, regularly, because it's very scary. I'm sure for them, especially when we can't communicate with them. I mean, it's been over a year, and many of them have died. So, Father, we just thank you right now for this need for our elderly population, Lord. Those who are vulnerable, needing care from others. Father, we ask for angelic assistance in these homes. We ask that you will protect them that are vulnerable. We thank you that ministering spirits will be among them. And I ask, Father, that you bring conviction on those who are mistreating and doing things that they know that they shouldn't do because they're not being watched. We ask, Father, that the situations that you intervene in behalf of these vulnerable ones, Father. And for those who have loved ones in there, Michelle and others, Lord, we thank you that you will give them the wisdom and how they can be an advocate even when they're not able to be there. In Jesus' holy name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Anybody have a physical need that you want us to pray about tonight? Anything? No? I do. Would somebody come up here and pray for me? I've been having vertigo in the last 4 days, and it's really, if you know what vertigo is, you get dizzy, and it's
been kind of a disruptive thing in me. And so I ask for you to pray for me, please. It has to go. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Lord, we just lift our pastor up to you right now, and we just speak to this vertigo. Lord, your word says that you have given us the keys of the kingdom of heaven to bind and loose. And Lord, we just bind up this vertigo right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we command it to go right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We just thank you, Father God, that this is not pastor's portion, that your word also says that by the stripes of Jesus, she is healed. And we just declare that today. The pastor is healed in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, for protecting everything, for straightening everything out. Everything that's crooked, Lord, we just ask that you straighten it out. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Lord, we pray for this tension right here in the back of our neck, Lord. That is affecting it more. I pray that it will loosen more. I pray, God, we speak to stress and her taking on things she's not supposed to.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord Jesus, I pray that you give her a steady walk and that she'll be able to stand and walk straight.
Thank you.
And that there would be no health issues. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Vertigo, that was squid.
Thank you.
Anybody else have anything you need before we go?
You should pray for Michelle, too.
Yeah.
Well,
come back.
Just pray for me.
Amen.
Father, I just pray for Michelle right now that you would bring everything in her body to balance levels, that you would bring healing to her body, that you would give her the ability to do what she's called to do with ease, with great strength, greater strength than she's known. I pray that you would surround her with the power of your spirit,
with
joy, and happiness to be able to walk and the strength you provide.
Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Amen.
Just help the Father to know how to give all these cares and things that she deals with, how to help her to have faith, a light, a way to just lift them to you and not hold them. Just thank you that you're releasing her from holding stress.
Yes.
And Lord, we women can have a little dose of that. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
No more harassment. No more harassment. In
Jesus'
name.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Praise.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Need prayer? Well, before we go, he needs prayer?
Yes.
Well, y'all come back up here.
Okay.
Okay. Well, he wants me to say it. He's kind of shy about it. He stopped playing the violin probably 5-6 months ago. He has refused to play, and I finally asked him, "What gives, Elijah? Why are you not going to play the violin? I know that God has given you a gift, and you're not using it." And he said, "Mom, I want to play the cello."
Oh, my goodness.
And he was holding out. And I said, "Okay, so if you could pray for us, I'm trying to find somebody to teach him and get a cello and all those little
details. And I said, if we get you one, are you going to play it? He said, yes. But that's on his heart. That's what he wants to do. And he wants to learn that. So if you pray for him, because I feel responsible. I know Scott does too, to, you know, expose him to that and get and keep him going without, I don't want to be pushing him all the time, but I know it's there. And that's what he wants to do. Yes, you can teach cello?
No.
Okay. Raise your hand.
If you turn it on your side and play it like a guitar, oh, I can teach you a little bit. So I don't, this is something I thought was for me, but because it's strange coincidence, I'm going to give it for you. Okay? Long time ago, I got a prophetic word where Dr. Tellers saw me as a cello.
You're going to play him.
That's right. The word was that I'm sometimes nervous about how God wants to use me, but then as time goes on, that music becomes sweeter and sweeter. And it was funny because tonight there was something that I was thinking about, and I was thinking of how to answer and how to respond and all this stuff. And the Lord said, it's not for you to try to figure out how to respond. Not for you to figure out how to bring the word of the Lord. But the cello has all the notes already in it. But it's not until the master lays his hand that the music can come forward.
That's right.
Now, I don't think it's a coincidence that the Lord would remind me of that prophetic word tonight and speak that to me at the same time as this would come up tonight. Because I didn't know that. I didn't know any of that. It's a good thing he's laid on your heart. But he has bigger things for you. So you make sure that you fill yourself with the Word of God. And when the time comes, he's going to use you, okay? The same way that he uses me, he will use you. But it's him that does the work, not you. You just fill yourself with the Word of God, okay? And you keep practicing, okay? Because your skills from the violin will transfer over to the cello. I promise you that.
Does it mean the drums are out?
No, he's doing the drums.
He's learning a lot of instruments.
Will you pray for him, Pastor?
Hold your hands out there. Father, I just thank you for anointing these hands to continue to play music from the Spirit for you. And that you will continue to give him the desire to learn and to let you teach him many things. Not just the cello and not just the violin and not just the schoolwork, but to teach you the Word of God. And I thank you, Father, that his parents are a part of that, teaching you the Word. And I thank you that his hands are blessed to bring forth music of the Spirit in all that he plays.
Praise
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Now we need a teacher, huh?
Teacher.
Well, the teacher will come, for sure.
Okay, so there is another prayer and worship.